Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. Over the first 9 months or so of this radio broadcast, we've been talking about the appointed times of the Lord, that is the feasts and festivals of Leviticus chapter 23, that teach about the first coming and the second coming of the Lord. If you remember, Passover teaches and prophesies about the death of Messiah, unleavened bread, the burial, first fruits of the barley harvest was his resurrection. The Holy Spirit came and indwelt the new believers in Acts chapter 2 at the Feast of Weeks. And then we're waiting for the fulfillment of the three fall feasts, the Feast of Trumpets, which teaches the rapture and resurrection, then the Day of Atonement, where the Lord returns at the end of the seven-year tribulation period for the Battle of Armageddon. Then a few days later, we have the Feast of Tabernacles, which celebrates God's establishment of his kingdom on earth, that thousand-year millennial kingdom of Messiah, that will be a kingdom of peace, love, and harmony that actually will not end. And after we talked about all the seven feasts and festivals of Leviticus 23, then we looked last week at the fact that God does not change. The church today does not celebrate the feasts and festivals of Leviticus chapter 23, even though God says repeatedly that these are statutes forever. So I want to take a more in-depth look at the topic of the fact that God does not change. Last week we looked at Malachi chapter 3 verse 6, which says very clearly, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." But that's only one of several scriptures that we find both in the Old Testament and the New Testament that make the same point. So let's look at some of the others to make sure we have a full picture of what God means by the fact that he does not change. If we look at Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, it says, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken, will he not make it good?" That means every time God makes a promise to us, he keeps it. Every time he makes a commandment of us, he expects us to keep it. He doesn't change, he doesn't lie, he doesn't repent, he doesn't change his mind. Let's look then at Psalm 102, verse 27, which, speaking of the Lord, says, "But you are the same, and your years will have no end." So the Lord goes on forever. He has no beginning, he has no end, and he's the same from the beginning through the end. And then looking at the New Testament in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, it tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, meaning the Lord our God, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. That is, God doesn't change even a little bit. And then in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 8 and 9, refers specifically to our Messiah Yeshua, or Jesus, where it says, "Yeshua the Messiah," or Jesus Christ, if you prefer, "is the same yesterday, today, and forever." So it says, "Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines," meaning the Lord doesn't change. He's been the same from the beginning. And you'll remember that John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in John 1:14 it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt," or tabernacled, "amongst us." So sometimes we think that, well, Yeshua or Jesus was just born 2,000 years ago, and we forget the fact that he's God from all eternity, that he has existed from the beginning. In fact, John 1 tells us that through him all things were made that were made. Without him nothing was made that was made. So consider the fact that God does not change. And if God does not change, what does that mean to us? For more than two decades now, I've been teaching that the Torah, the law, was not abolished at the death, burial, and resurrection of our Messiah Yeshua, and is still very much in effect. And I want you to think about these verses that I'm going to talk about today and see what the Lord will reveal to you about it. So I want to take a few minutes today to examine what it would mean if I'm wrong and the law has been abolished. What if the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah did do away with the law, and we're no longer supposed to keep the Sabbath or the feasts and the festivals? We're now allowed to eat pork, etc. What if that were true? First, the scriptures say that every word spoken by a true prophet of God will come to pass, right? If we look back at Deuteronomy 18, verses 20 to 22, it says specifically, "But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him." In other words, if the words issued by a prophet saying, "Thus saith the Lord," do not come to pass, then we know for certain that the Lord did not speak those words, and that the prophet is a false prophet. He's not to be believed. He's not to be followed. So, if the Torah, the law, the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God have been abolished, then Moses is a false prophet. For Moses wrote that the feasts of the Lord would be kept forever. Concerning first fruits, which is the festival that teaches the resurrection of Messiah, and is the day on which he arose, according to our Bibles, in Leviticus 23:14, it says, "You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain or fresh grain, until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings." And Moses began this teaching by saying, "The word of the Lord came to me saying." So he says these words are directly from the Lord God. So if we are not supposed to keep the Feast of First Fruits anymore, then Moses is a false prophet. Not only that, but concerning the Feast of Weeks, which is also called Shavuot, or in the church they Pentecost, Moses wrote, "And you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations." So like first fruits, if the Feast of Weeks is no longer to be kept, if the statute has been abolished, then it wasn't a statute forever. And Moses was wrong, and if Moses is wrong, then he would be a false prophet. Going on, concerning the Day of Atonement, otherwise called Yom Kippur, the one that teaches Messiah returning for the Battle of Armageddon, in Leviticus 23:31, Moses wrote, "You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings." And then concerning the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, the one that teaches the establishment of the Messianic Kingdom in Revelation chapters 19 and 20, says, "You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in a year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month." That's Leviticus 23:41. These are not the only four times in Leviticus 23 that Moses writes, "This is a statute forever." But he does it repeatedly. He says, "This is a statute forever." So it either is a statute forever, or Moses is a false prophet. But Moses is cited 80 times in the New King James Version of the New Testament, and always cited as good authority. In Acts chapter 3, verse 22, and in Revelation 15, verse 3, he's referred to as the servant of God. So if Moses is the servant of God and a true prophet of God, all of his words must come true, which means these festivals that God commanded in Leviticus chapter 23, he meant they would be kept forever. They could not ever be abolished. Now moving past the festivals. If the Torah, the law, has been abolished, then Moses must be a false prophet. For Moses wrote that the Sabbath of the Lord would be kept forever. In Exodus 31, verses 16 to 17, It says, "Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." So Moses wrote that the Sabbath would be the seventh day forever. If the Sabbath was abolished and replaced by Sunday, then Moses would be a false prophet, because it was not a statute forever. By the way, some people ask me, in fact, frequently they ask me, how do we know Sunday is not the Sabbath? Well, if you look in the Gospels, like in Matthew chapter 28, it tells us that Messiah arose on the day after the Sabbath. He arose on Sunday, that's true, but the Bible calls it the day after the Sabbath. If Sunday is the day after the Sabbath, it can't be the Sabbath. Okay? But going on, it wouldn't just be Moses that would be a false prophet if the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God have been abolished. So we see if the law has been abolished, then Isaiah is also a false prophet. For Isaiah wrote that the Lord would teach the Torah from Jerusalem in the latter days, that is, in the Messianic kingdom. In Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, it says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days," in Hebrew that's the Acharit Hayamin, the end of days, and it refers to the millennial kingdom, says that "the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills," which means that Messiah's kingdom will be over all the earth, "and all nations," that's Gentiles, "shall flow to it. Many people," or multitudes, "shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob.'" The house of the God of Jacob is the temple. Says, "He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his path. For out of Zion," which is prophetic Jerusalem, where the Temple Mount sits, "shall go forth the law," the Torah, "and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." So Isaiah, as a prophet, said, "The Lord said," saying that in the Messianic kingdom, the Torah would be taught from Jerusalem with Messiah on the throne. Now, Isaiah is cited 21 times in the New Testament. Repeatedly, he's called Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah prophesied such things as the virgin birth of Messiah, that Messiah would be called Emmanuel, that he would be called Mighty God, that his kingdom and his peace and his glory would never end. These are all prophecies made by Isaiah. So Isaiah, if he's a false prophet, it really undermines a lot of New Testament theology. And I'm not saying he is a false prophet. He's a true prophet, as was Moses. I'm just saying that if the law has been abolished, if the Torah has been abolished, then what would that mean for our understanding of the scriptures? It's not just Moses and Isaiah. But if the Torah has been abolished, then Micah is a false prophet. For Micah wrote that the Lord would teach the Torah, the law, from Jerusalem in the Messianic kingdom. In Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths.' For out of Zion," again, that's prophetic Jerusalem, the area of the Temple Mount, where the Lord will sit and reign, "for out of Zion the law," the Torah, "shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And Micah is quoted and cited in Matthew chapter 2, verses 5 to 6, and it quotes Micah as the prophet. So again, the New Testament calls him a prophet, as it does Isaiah, and as it does Moses. Not just Moses, Isaiah, and Micah. If the Torah or law has been abolished, then Ezekiel must be a false prophet. For Ezekiel wrote that the priests would teach the law, the Torah, in the Messianic kingdom, with Messiah Yeshua sitting on the throne. It says in Ezekiel 44, verses 23 to 24, "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. In controversy they shall stand as judges, and judge it according to my judgments. They shall keep my laws, that specifically says my Torah, and my statutes, my chukot, those are commandments that are difficult to understand. In all my appointed meetings, that's the feasts and festivals of Leviticus 23 that we've taught about for 9 months now. And they shall hallow my Sabbath, not my Sundays. So Ezekiel says clearly that throughout the millennial kingdom, we're going to observe the Torah, the statutes, the feasts and festivals, and we're going to keep the Sabbath. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 alludes to Ezekiel chapter 37, 27, which means that the Apostle Paul considered Ezekiel to be a true prophet of God and the words of Ezekiel to be reliable. Not just Moses, Isaiah, Micah, and Ezekiel. But if the law or Torah has been abolished, then Jeremiah must be a false prophet. For Jeremiah wrote that the New Testament, or the Renewed Covenant, better translated, would mean that God would write the Torah, the law, the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God on the hearts and minds of his people. As he wrote in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my Torah in their minds, my law in their minds, and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So Jeremiah teaches very clearly that in the Messianic kingdom, the millennial kingdom, the time to come, that the Torah, the law, the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God are going to be written on the hearts and the minds of the people, meaning that we will be obedient to the Lord because we want to, because we choose to. And three times in the New Testament, Jeremiah is cited as authority, and twice he's called Jeremiah the prophet, which means that he's not a false prophet, he's a true prophet of God, which means the law cannot have been abolished because it's going to be written on the hearts and minds of the people in days that are yet future to us. They can't be abolished and yet be written on the hearts and minds in the future. Well, not only is it Moses, Isaiah, Micah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah, but if the law has been abolished, the Torah has been abolished, then Zechariah must be a false prophet. For Zechariah wrote that everyone who's left alive among the nations at the end of the great tribulation, when the battle of Armageddon's over, we will all, Jew and Gentile alike, celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem every year. And he also wrote that as we approach the day of the Lord, or the coming of the Messianic Kingdom, non-Jews, meaning Gentiles, would begin to keep the law as well. First, in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16, it says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone," notice that everyone, "who is left of all the nations," and the word Gentile, nations there is Gentiles, "which came against Jerusalem," that means for the battle of Armageddon, every nation came against Jerusalem, "so as every nation shall go up from year to year," that is, will go up to Jerusalem, to the Temple Mount, as Isaiah 2 and Micah 4 said, "to worship the King, the Lord of hosts," that's our Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, "and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." So if the Feast of Tabernacles has been abolished, we're not to do that anymore, then Zechariah is wrong when he says every Gentile in the world is going to keep the Feast of Tabernacles in the day of the Lord, which is yet future to us. He also told us in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23, "Thus says the Lord of hosts." Lord of hosts in Hebrew is Adonai Zavaot, and whenever you hear that phrase, you know you're looking at an end times prophecy. It says, "in those days." If it said "in that day," it would refer to the day of the Lord, which is yet future. When he says "in those days," plural, it means it starts before the day of the Lord, which means our day, the time in which we live. This is effective. "In those days, 10 men, or in other words, a minion, a representative group, from every language of the nations," the word nations, it means Gentiles, "shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man," but it's not a sleeve. The word in Hebrew is kanaf, and it's the corner of the prayer shawl where the tzitzit are tied, or the fringes, and they represent the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God that we call the law or the Torah. So in those days, including in our day right now, there are people from every language of the nations of the Gentiles that are grasping the tzitzit, representing the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God of the Torah, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. So Zechariah prophesied that in these last days, as we're coming close to the time for Messiah's catching away the believers, we're going to return to the Torah and realize we should never have considered the law to have been abolished or done away with. Now, next week, if time permits, we may look at some of the verses that people misinterpret to believe that the law has been abolished. But is Zechariah referred to in the New Testament? Well, yes, Matthew chapter 21, verse 5, and the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 15, both refer to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, which prophesied that Messiah would come riding on a donkey in the foal of a donkey. Remember that prophecy? So they cite Zechariah as a true prophet. And also Matthew 26, 31 and Mark 14, 27 refer back to Zechariah 13, 7 about the prophecy that if you strike the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. And it refers to that as a prophecy of Messiah's crucifixion and the fact that the apostles would be scattered. And they were. When Messiah was arrested, the disciples all fled except for Peter and John. And Peter, of course, denied the Lord three times. So Zechariah was a true prophet of God, which means we will come in these last days to understand that the Torah was not abolished. Rather, it's for all people. And at the end times, a lot of Gentiles are going to start to observe the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God, which is what's happening in the Messianic community today. But carrying on the concept, what if the law has been abolished? What if I'm wrong? Well, if the law's been abolished, then Daniel is a false prophet. For Daniel wrote that the false Messiah, or Antichrist, or Beast of Revelation 13, whichever term you prefer, would intend to change the feasts of the Lord, that is those of Leviticus 23, and the Torah itself during the tribulation period. He cannot abolish the Torah and change the feasts and festivals of the Lord if they've already been abolished 2,000 years ago. So in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, it says, he, that is the false Messiah, shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints in the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Times there refer to the Moedim, the feasts and festivals of Leviticus 23, and law is specifically the word Torah, the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God. It says, then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time, which is 3.5 years, which is the second half of the tribulation period called the Great Tribulation. Yet Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, and Mark 13, verse 14, quotes the Lord as referring to Daniel the prophet. So Messiah himself calls Daniel the prophet, which means he's a good and true prophet. But another point about Daniel, if the law's been abolished, Daniel's a false prophet, for Daniel wrote that the false Messiah or Antichrist would stop the sacrifices and offering in the tribulation temple. If the Torah's been abolished, there would be no temple service to stop, and there would be nowhere for him to set up the abomination of desolation. Let's read Daniel 9:27, which says, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Not only would we have a problem with all these Old Testament prophets if they're determined to be false prophets because their doctrine and teachings and prophecies are integral to the entire New Testament, but if the Torah has been abolished, what does that say about our Messiah Yeshua or Jesus? For he said that until heaven and earth pass away, which does not happen until after the Messianic kingdom has ended. It's been for 1,000 years and ends in Revelation 21:1. He said not the smallest letter, even the smallest piece of a letter, would pass away from the Torah. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot, which is the smallest Hebrew letter yod, or one tittle, which is a piece of a letter, will by no means pass from the Torah, the law, until all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So Messiah himself tells us that whoever keeps the commandments of God and teaches others to do so shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. If they've been abolished, then he was wrong. And if he's wrong, that makes him a false prophet, and that cannot be. Also, Messiah Yeshua said that when the saints in the tribulation period see the abomination of desolation standing in a holy place, that they should flee from Jerusalem, but they should pray that it not be on the Sabbath. Matthew 24:20 says, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. If the Sabbath has been abolished, then there would be no Sabbath to be concerned about, and Messiah would be wrong to include this in his prophecy. He would be a false prophet, and if a false prophet, not the Messiah. So what I'm telling you is, the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God, the Torah, has not passed away. Remember, if Messiah said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And in John 14:23-24, Messiah said, it says, Yeshua answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So Messiah says everything that he spoke on earth during his 3.5 years of ministry, he spoke because those are the words that were given to him by his Father. The same God who's been God from time immemorial, from the very beginning, the same God who through Messiah has given all the commandments, statutes, and judgments that have been from the beginning. So when Messiah says his words will never pass away, he's talking about everything from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Speaking of Revelation, if the Torah has been abolished, then the Apostle John is a false prophet. For in Revelation 12:17, John said, and the dragon, that's Satan, was enraged with the woman, that's Israel, who went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Yeshua the Messiah. And in Revelation 14:12, he said, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. So in both cases, the Apostle John, in words of prophecy, says the saints are going to keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. So the commandments of God cannot have been abolished. The commandments, statutes, and judgments of God are what we call the Torah or the law. So if the Torah or the law has been abolished, then many of the great prophets of the Bible would have to be branded as false prophets, and that would totally undermine our entire Bible, including the New Testament, so it simply cannot be. But even worse, that would mean that Yeshua himself is a false prophet and not the Messiah, and for that I say, God forbid. Messiah is God from all eternity, as John 1:1 tells us. Every word he spoke was true, and every word of prophecy he spoke will come to pass. So rather, it is as Peter described in 2 Peter 3:14-16, which says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they also do the rest of the scriptures. So Paul's writings have been misunderstood, and we'll pick up this topic and discuss it in more detail next week.